Good evening. Tonight for our New Year's Eve service, we will be following the order of worship as you find it printed in your worship bulletin. We open with prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed us to be your children through your Son, Jesus. In him, you have given us the gift of eternal life. Guide us by your word this evening. Bless us with the certainty of your presence as we worship you. As we enter the new year, comfort us with the assurance of your daily presence and of your tender mercies, which are new every morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
O Lord, open my lips. Hasten, O God, to save me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Behold, he who keeps Israel. The Lord is your keeper. The sun shall not strike you by day. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil.
He shall preserve your soul.
The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in.
From this time forward and even forevermore.
You may be seated. Our scripture lesson on this New Year's Eve is drawn from the book of 1 Samuel, an episode from the history of the children of Israel during this time of the prophet Samuel. As you may recall from your Bible reading and Bible study, one of the great enemies of God's people was the Philistines, which were a continual thorn in the side of the Israelites. And in this text, we see how the Lord promises deliverance from that enemy, the Philistines, that he would be their helper. Something we can be reminded of is that in the enemies we face, seen and unseen, in the new year that is to come, the Lord promises to be our helper as we look to him for guidance and direction and the strength that he provides us through his gospel word. We read in 1 Samuel 7, 1 to 14, and the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shain and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath. And Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So far, the scripture lesson. We sing the next hymn. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for meditation today is based on words from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and the meditations that I'll be sharing with you are adapted from some meditations that were written back in the 1950s by Pastor William Eifert, his name is. The text from 2 Peter chapter 1. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So far, the text. The name of our Savior Jesus, dear Christian friends, in a few hours we will be turning page 365 of volume 2024 of the Christian Era. When we first opened this volume a year ago, We could not know how the story of 2024 would read. We weak mortals cannot see the end from the beginning like our omniscient God can do. But as we look back on the pages of 2024, we can count many blessings God has bestowed. His gift of peace within our nation's borders compared to other regions of the world where many are suffering the ravages of war. His blessing of abundant food and a wealth of consumer goods so that we've enjoyed a standard of living that many in the world can only dream about. For each of us, 2024 had days of good health, and when we had not so good health, strength from God to carry on in the midst of physical and emotional trials. And most importantly, we've been blessed to enjoy hearing the words of eternal life in Christ. We experienced the golden truth that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, to those who've been called according to His purpose. Now we'll soon open volume 2025. We don't know what God in His fatherly wisdom has determined for it, but we can be sure that no matter what lies in store, it will be a good year. It cannot help but be so as we pay attention and pay heed to the message of the candles. Tonight we're going to light up 8 candles, each symbolic of a Christian trait that we ask the Holy Spirit to help us add to our faith in increasing measure, and by which our God will assure us of a blessed year. Candle 1 represents faith. When God called the patriarch Abraham to embark on a road over which he had never traveled, he may have been gripped by a sense of trepidation. But Abraham was not afraid. We read that by faith he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he'd receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, trusting God to lead him in his own right way. We too need to start our journey into the new year with courage born of faith. And isn't it reassuring to know that the one who upholds all things by His power, our gracious Heavenly Father, has given to us the promise in apprehensions that might overspread our hearts as we embark on the unknown road of the new year ahead. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. With such faith anchored in our Lord and the promises of His Word, 2025 cannot be for us but a happy year. For He who did not spare His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And there is nothing that can separate us from His love. ...2025 will be happier still as we endeavor to produce, with the Lord's help, in our lives as Christians, an increasing amount of faith fruits. In our text, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Goodness in this verse does not mean goodness in a general sense, but a particular quality such as courage. Peter, who wrote this letter, recognized the dangers to which the Christians he was writing to were going to be exposed and were exposed, like the danger of being offended over the gospel, the simple message of God's word, which seemed too weak compared to the messages of the super powerful world. The danger of forgetting they were sojourners in the world, just people passing through on the way to their real home, heaven. Growing impatient when Jesus did not return as quickly as they hoped he would, and to doubt maybe whether he was going to return at all, and of chafing under crosses in the meantime that he called upon them to bear. It would take courage to stay faithful, to be willing to lose their homes, to be abandoned by friends, to lose their businesses, to hear crowds shouting in the Roman Colosseum, "Throw those nasty Christians to the lions." How would they be able to stand in the face of such trials? How will you and I fare in difficulties we run into? Have we the courage to take a sneer, to lose a friend, to forfeit earthly comforts for Jesus? Not in our strength. But what this second candle bids us do is to ask the Lord to bless us with his strength, to stand fast in him and in the truths of his holy word, with a courage born of faith that will enable us to take up our crosses and to follow him, our Savior, as he bore his cross for us. And that is a prayer we can be sure that he will graciously answer. Candle 3's message is make every effort to add knowledge to your faith. Everything else being equal, the more knowledge that a person possesses in a given field of endeavor, the larger will be his power. As they say, knowledge is power. Greater will be his opportunities for doing things in service to others, and the richer will be his joy. It's essential for us to possess knowledge of the one true God and his Son whom he sent to save us, Jesus. But there's more to this business of being a Christian than that. But isn't it great to know that the Lord has provided us with a resource for assimilating more heavenly knowledge of him and of his will for our lives and the role that he wants us to play in his kingdom in serving him in the people around us. Candle 3 reminds us to be continuing diligent searchers of God's word in the new year so that the Holy Spirit may use it to help us to increase in our spiritual knowledge, and a byproduct of that will be increased appreciation for what Jesus has done for us and greater awareness of opportunities he sets in front of us from day to day for serving him in his kingdom. Here at church, at home, at work, wherever we may be. Next, the Apostle Peter exhorts us to add self-control to our faith. The Lord has made our bodies fearfully and wonderfully, as the psalmist says. He's endowed us with physical ability and powers of intelligence to carry on the duties of the calling in life that he's given to us. It's important that we use the abilities our Father has supplied with wisdom and discretion. No one can afford to waste his God-given talents by laziness, or by burning the candle at both ends by overworking, or by undernourishing the body, or by indulging over in food and drink, overindulging in food and drink. Paul once compared our lives as Christians, we who look forward to receiving an eternal prize, to athletes who train for sports contests to receive a perishable trophy. Athletes who fail to adhere to a strict training program are not likely to be around at the end of the season when the trophies are awarded. So too, success in reaching our heavenly goal comes only to those who run a well-disciplined race of faith, who fight their sinful tendencies, who take to heart Paul's instruction to say no to ungodliness, to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age, as we await the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own and eager to do what is good for the Lord's praise. This is the message of Candle 4. The next candle stands for perseverance, or a better translation might be patient endurance. It is not to a Christian's credit to be impatient, irritable, and grouchy. As children of God, we'll want to endeavor to project our faith to others by exhibiting Christ-like patience towards others. And when wronged, by forgiving others from the heart, even as the Lord has freely forgiven us. Another aspect of patient endurance is cheerfully submitting to God's will during times of stress. We should pray for the God-given ability to bear the cross of grief and stress with a spirit of contentment, knowing that what God ordains is always good, and to view the crosses that he allows in our lives as evidences of his fatherly love. He's testing our faith to strengthen it and to make it more resilient. With 2025 an unknown quantity in which we will likely experience many unpleasantries, we do well to remember the admonition of Candle 5: make every effort to add to your faith patient endurance. Candle 6 represents godliness. A Christian must be godly, not worldly. Adding godliness to our faith means letting our love for our Savior dominate our thinking, determine our actions and our decision-making. Not the temptations, the sinful pleasures and amusements, the amoral thinking and philosophy of the godless world. It's far from easy to live lives of godliness in a godless culture, but it pays. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life that is to come." Candle 7 bids us add brotherly kindness to our faith. You'll remember how Jesus made brotherly kindness a test of Christian discipleship. "A new command I give you," he said, "love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." John also wrote in one of his epistles, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he's seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. No one can be genuinely happy if there is rooted in his heart a spirit of ill will or a grudge towards someone. Conversely, where brotherly kindness abounds in the heart, a forgiving spirit, happiness will abound too. That's the message presented by Candle 7. Our last candle bids us to add love to our faith. Peter does not mention this fruit of the Spirit last because it's the least important. Rather, he wishes to emphasize that love is the zenith of all Christian virtues. There is no force in the world like love. It can accomplish what no other power can do. God so loved a world perishing in sin that he gave it the very best he had to give, his Son. When we add a larger measure of love to our faith, we will find ourselves spontaneously doing for others what we would not have thought possible. This last candle reminds us that we will be happier in 2025 for having loved others in Christ, and our Lord will be glorified. Don't know if any of New Year's resolutions are recorded in Scripture on its pages, although there are verses that might be used as such, but certainly among such verses is Peter's beautiful directive in our text that we have been discussing tonight. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Faith in God our Father and our Savior Jesus, combined with growth in Christian sanctification by the power of the Spirit, will make 2025 a happy year indeed. This is the message of the candles. Amen. We sing the next hymn. invite you to rise for prayer. O Holy Trinity, we thank you for your many blessings during the year now drawing to its close. Behind us lies the path of our lives that our lives have traveled. It is scarred by sin and failure. Troubles, frustrations, and suffering have made it wearisome. But with your help, we endured. By your grace, our sins found forgiveness. Through your love, we received countless good things to cheer us. Ahead stretches the trail, unknown and unbroken, but we do not fear to travel it. We know that you are always with us and that you will guide the affairs of our lives for our good. O keep us continually under your tender care. Turn our sorrows to rejoicing. Give help in time of troubles and healing for our ills. Guard us from danger. Keep calamity, hardship, and poverty from our homes. According to your good pleasure, bless our families with good health. Impart strength to the feeble and relieve the sufferer. May our unresolved problems of the past find speedy solution in the future, which you hold in your hands. Dear God, it is of even greater importance that we commend to you our spiritual needs. Therefore, we seek shelter also for our souls under the comforting umbrella of your mercy. O ease our burden of sin with the forgiveness won by Jesus. As we grow older, make our faith and our love for you grow stronger. Equip us to turn away every temptation and to do every good work. Make us diligent students of your word and grant us guidance and comfort from it for our daily lives. Lend us grace to accept correction with humility and chastisement with patience. Help us to pray with confidence. Kindle in us the fire of divine love so that we will treat others with compassion. Grant to all of us mutual love, trust, and respect, so that we may live lives and worship you in an atmosphere of goodwill. May all that we do in the new year and throughout our lives be done for you. Let us enjoy your continual blessings. Whether we live or die, let us glorify you, for we are yours. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue now with the confession of sins and words of forgiveness. Dear friends in Christ, it is your desire to receive the sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the assurance of the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith in him as your Savior, and the grace to serve him with a God-pleasing life. In order that these blessings may be yours, it is necessary that you bear in mind the word of God recorded by St. John in his first epistle. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Deeply conscious of our guilt and trusting solely in the merits of Jesus Christ for forgiveness, let us make confession of our sins. Almighty God, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? If so, then declare so by saying, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you answered me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Christ my Savior. Through him, you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. The communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. You'll be this evening walking up here and then all walking away this way, and then there's one receptacle for the spent communion cups over there, so you'll be leaving that way and then going back to your seat in that direction. Please rise for the closing liturgy. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, who is God from everlasting to everlasting, we thank you that you have been our strength and our stay in the old year, and we implore you to give us a strong faith that we may firmly believe that your sustaining presence will be with us every passing hour in the new year. In Jesus' name, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all.
Amen.